the story grows. I'm Brian Patton. Today we have our September recap episode. So y'all hear clips from interviews with Keith from Restraining Order, Joe from Dead, Jacques from Abraham, Yanni from Sainthood Reps, Oscar from Ambush, Philip and Leon from Fault to Spring, and Jeff from Modern Life is War. If you are over on our Discord server at the beginning of September, I had posted that we would only have one episode a week for the month of September, and that lasted just that first week as the schedule filled up. So hopefully if you missed any episodes, you will enjoy the clips you hear and go back and check out the full interviews. Thanks so much for listening and checking out this episode of As the Story Grows. If you're a brand new listener, welcome. Thanks for checking us out. You can find links at our website, asthestorygrows.com, or in the show notes for our Discord server, our mailing list, and our Patreon page, where a dollar a month gets you early access to every episode. Enjoy today's recap of all the interviews that aired in the month of September. It's a fascinating, like, listening to the band and to the new record. Like, it's not like this, like, oddball hardcore style, but I feel like there's so many directions and so many different genres under the umbrella of hardcore that you don't hear that kind of more punk influenced side of it anymore, right? It's way more the Hatebreed, you know, Madball thing days, or like metalcore influenced, or even like straight up Youth Crew stuff. And so, like, listening to the record, it's like, oh yeah, this is like, I don't know what it reminded me of, but it's like, it's familiar, right?
Yeah. So, like I said in the beginning, we wanted to do like just like early 80s, mm-hmm. return early 2000s, like fast hardcore. And, you know, that stuff existed, but like hardcore was so like separated at the time. There's like the hardcore you just described all as one scene, and then the more punk stuff that like didn't want anything to do with that. But we, as hardcore kids, we loved it all. So we're like, we don't care, we're gonna play the punk, more of the punk leaning stuff. But all of our friends are more of like the, you know, the more contemporary hardcore. But we don't, you know, we don't care, we just want to play it. And that's kind of was our mentality.
That's awesome. What was the inspiration for the band name?
I think in our group chat, we made a list of names, and that was one of it. I know that, like, the band Out Cold has a song called Restraining Order, and I'm pretty sure that's where it originated from. But we really just, I don't know who proposed that name. There was just like we had like an email, a group email or group chat with like a whole bunch of names. And we're like, yo, that sounds, we wanted something that's like punk, you know, like, kind of like, it's kind of offensive, but like not over the top.
We
thought it would be perfect. Restraining Order.
When I talked back in 2021, like, we talked about kind of this new metal resurgence, which was at that time really just starting to bubble. I think in the 4 years since then, it's kind of exploded. Have you noticed that, and kind of has that helped your band kind of, I don't know, find new fans or a stronger footing?
Yeah. I've noticed it for sure, because I feel like every publication and whatever on the internet, it's like being exploited actually now. Now it's being like raped and pillaged, right, for clicks.
Just like the first time around.
Yeah, just like the first, you know, it's cool for a minute, and then at a point everybody jumps onto it, and there's all these new bands now that are trying to like do it because it's cool. You know, we were, you know, I was there as a kid in the first time it happened, you know, like when it really happened. I was actually too young for it. And then as it went on, I was like, you know, in a band when I was like 16, 17. What's so interesting is it's an old band. It's called Half Gain. And I have kids finding my band from when I was 16, 17 years old, sending me like, dude, do you have a CD of this? And I'm like, nah, dude, like this is, you know, I thought that band was just gone. But there's so many people finding it, like my older stuff. So then, you know, now with everything that's going on, you asked if it's been helping us. I think it does in some ways, again, because it's like become so popular. But you know, we were doing it in 2016. We're doing it almost 10 years ago. And there were a couple other bands doing it. I'm trying to think of, you know, like Cane Hill was kind of doing it. Islander kind of did it around that time. There's a few of them and maybe a couple more that I'm missing, of course. But now it's become like this thing where it's like, let's start a new metal band or whatever. And we're not, we were never trying to be like a new metal band. We were just trying to, just like I heard, it's just so funny because it's so like a circle. I remember like Korn, I'm not saying we're Korn or Deftones or anything, but I remember them being like, we weren't being a new metal band. We're just doing music that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing for Dead. Like, yeah, we were pulling from stuff like Slipknot and stuff like System of a Down and whatever, Korn and Deftones. But, you know, we were pulling from that, but we were incorporating it with hardcore and punk and rock and all kinds of things. Yeah. You know, it wasn't really supposed to be like we're a new metal band. Now it feels like some of it is a bit contrived, just like it was before when everybody jumps in because it's like a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of bullshit versions of it now, just like there was before. And there's a bunch of really cool ones now too. There's like, so it just really depends on the band. You know what I mean? So, I don't know if it helps or hurts us. It's a little bit less like we're one of the only ones doing it, which was cool, but it was also like, oh, nu metal was still kind of a bad word when we were coming out and doing it, and now it's like a cool thing again. Like we were doing our videos with Fred Durst and stuff, and like some people thought it was cool, but some people, Fred Durst was maybe not the it thing in 2017, but now everybody loves Limp Bizkit again, so now he's you know, so it's just so funny. And for us, it's like we never shied away. We don't do the whole like, oh, this is cool, let's jump on a thing. Like that's fucking weak, super weak for everybody that, you know, is listening to that. Super weak to do that. We were doing it just because we wanted to do it. And that's, I think, how, you know, good music is made, good art is made. So,
yeah. Look, Here Comes the Dark. It kind of kicks off, I don't know, not really a trilogy, but kind of albums in this universe. At what point did you know you were going to kind of write multiple variations on a theme?
We didn't really know that. When we started Look, Here Comes the Dark, we wanted to address themes as the end of the world, to put it basically.
Yeah.
And we thought, yeah, why not make a huge album that would cover everything about that? And then when the record was done, we had a tour or two behind us. We thought, yeah, maybe we can still say something about this. And then we made Débris de Monde Perdu. And yeah, we just kept on going in that direction. That sounds a bit, maybe a bit naive to say the things like that. But I mean, the thing is, well, we thought we weren't quite done talking about this.
Yeah. I mean, I think certain bands like The Ocean, right, they kind of have a theme, and it's like you go until you feel like you've have nothing left to say on it. I don't like it makes sense. with each record, listening to them back to back, they each get a little more unhinged, in my opinion, as you listen to them.
Where the that's a huge compliment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the new record is very much, I feel like, a noise rock influence on it, where it's just like the chaos. It's like most bands only attempt to be heavier, and I feel like you guys have done that. heavier, but like completely on the edge of like everything is going to break apart. Was that just kind of intentional or just kind of the natural way of just like, okay, we've written about the end of the world. What's after that? So it has to be crazier and then a parallel universe. So that has to be even more bonkers.
Maybe it was kind of intentional. Maybe it was kind of occupational hazard because okay. I don't know if it's the right term, but when we wrote Débris du Monde Perdu, we wanted to do something a bit more, maybe more rock sounding, a bit more rough around the edges and stuff like that. And then for this record, It's Ungwisse, we wanted to go more into space. So we added more reverb to what was already kind of reverby.
Yeah.
And more delay and more, more was more in terms of effects. But we, in parallel to that, we tried to play less notes.
Okay.
And maybe playing less notes was something that's allowed us to sound heavier somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just wanted to do the most basic stuff we could.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to have less riffs and stuff like that.
What then leads you guys to Tooth and Nail to release Monoculture on Tooth and Nail?
Yeah, so that was very strange. Well, so I mean, we're about the same age, but when we were growing up, there was like bands on Tooth and Nail that were like actually kind of cool and not necessarily like religious bands, right? Yeah. So they wanted to start putting out like non-religious music again.
Yeah.
And they wanted to like, you know, have, you know, that sure they'll have their, I'm trying to think of some big Christian band on the label, but like they'd have this band who's playing the worship festivals.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to have their more like, you know, what is it, secular or non-secular? One of the two.
Secular. No,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. So like secular music, they wanted to have like some secular music that would broaden the amount of people that are buying their records. And so an old friend now of ours that became very instrumental to the band and like the kind of vision and the art and everything, Jordan Butcher, he was working for them. He was doing a bunch of art and he was our AR guy. And he convinced us that it was a very good idea. And so next thing we know, we go to Seattle and we're meeting all of them and like everyone's super nice and super cool. And they gave us a very nice amount of money to go to the studio with Mike Zappone for, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. And honestly, I mean, Monoculture would not be what it is without that because sonically it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, having the ability to sit and AB every single tone you can possibly imagine, like, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so they were kind of just like, hey, you know, we want to get back into secular music. Mm-hmm. You can choose to be like, they'd be like, oh, if you want, we can put you in this, you know, Christian record store, Christian bookstore, like you'll sell a lot of records, but it probably might not be your thing. And so, you know, we had a good experience with them, but ultimately we kept getting lumped into Christian music, and B, it didn't help that we had sainthood in our name. So then like people are like trying to like read behind between some sort of lines. And then like, you know, we go on tour with Me Without You because they're like old friends of Brand New and stuff, but like they have these weird Jesus freak fans.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was strange.
Did you know what is hiding out there?
was there. I know oftentimes when people discover heavy music, this was my case, right? Like you hear something and then it just leads you to heavier and heavier stuff. And then eventually you're like, I don't know, if you keep going, right, you're into death and black metal. Was that your trajectory, or were you just like the traditional, like that old school heavy metal vibe all the way?
I mean, in a way, but I never stopped listening to anything. I mean, I still listen to Supertramp and Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits and all this beautiful music, and Saga, the Canadian Saga, great band.
Yeah.
But I widened my perspective, of course. And I, when I was like 19, 18, 19, I was much into like, black metal and death metal, especially a band called Opeth, because I like prog rock and I like death metal, so they combine. And so that was a beautiful thing for me. But I, as I said, I never stopped listening to anything, really. The only thing I don't listen to a lot more is hip-hop. I had a little era there, maybe 12 years old. I listened to Snoop Dogg. I thought he was a cool guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, sometimes you just got change it up, right?
Yeah, sure. I still think he's a cool guy, but I don't listen to his music anymore. Addictive at the top. I'm not even close to reaching what I want. But your love, this is gonna hurt a little, but it must. Nothing can satisfy me but the fame and fire. Broken and sleep deprived. Wonder how I'm feeling.
I'm curious about kind of singing in English versus speaking in English, and if there are differences you approach to each, because like when I listen to the records, there's nothing accented or, you know, German sounding about.
It's so good to hear. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know where you're going with this. It's harder, I think, in the conversation right now. I guess we're trying, but it's hard to get the German out of us.
Yeah.
In singing, it's weirdly, it's easier for me to pronounce stuff more, more natural or, better sounding or more natural sounding. But I think that's like I listen to a lot of American music, a lot of British music, and I think that's muscle memory from singing all those songs with the same kind of the same words, because everybody's using the same words.
I think it's also kind of in a conversation you constantly have to think, what am I going to say? When you're singing your songs, the lyrics are at some point they're fixed, and you can learn the pronunciation. And I mean,
that too,
it helps with, getting back to like certain words. Okay, how am I going to do the flow here? How am I going to do the pronunciation? Whereas when you're talking to someone, you could be caught completely off guard because someone answers in a way you didn't expect. And then you're like, okay, what was I going to say? And then the thought process starts then you stumble over your own words, and
that's what's happening right now. And
The other song that really, or line that stood out to me is Talismanic at the end there. I don't have to be what you want me to be. Nothing is permanent. I carry you with me, which kind of resonated with me. It reminded me of my like dad who passed away and kind of the weirdness of our relationship before he died. And I'm like, what is that song about and what does it mean to you?
Well, Talismanic is the last song on the record, and I really wrote it as that in a way. Like, I wanted to say everything all in that song.
Yeah.
I think what you're feeling regarding someone you lost in that lyric and the way it ends is pretty spot on. I mean, it's about relationships ending. and that being okay, and that not necessarily being like a flaw of one party or the other. And just sort of, it's okay to move on. You know, it's okay to change. It's okay to move on. It's okay to lose relationships. It's okay to let someone go. You know, it's okay to leave someone. It's, you know, like, so talismanic is just what, you know, what you carry with you from that person. So like, you know, it's like, I don't know what your relationship was with your father in the last few years, but I imagine there is something about it that you would want to, you know, you, there's a shining, like, great part of that relationship that you probably want to carry with you. Yeah. And certainly for people that we've lost in our lives as a band, because we've lost a bunch of people. But for people that we've lost, some of those relationships were very difficult, you know, like not always clearly even friends at the end of life or whatever, you know, and then you have that kind of pain of how that person died and what your status with them was at the time of their death and things like that. And I guess I'm just kind of saying that there is a more important thing than that, and that is that you did come together in life, and that there is some good in that that you can still carry with you.